Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
And this is the Real Talk for Real People show, where we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And certainly we study ourselves as need be. Consider what has happened to us, been reduced to a monstrosity, that we hate one another. We hate anything that remotely looks like each other. We can't get together for a block party, a picnic, a song and dance, a concert, so on and so forth. Because a movement of Yah's people mandates a movement of Yah with that people, meaning fundamental codification and concepts. If you're not going by what Yah says in regards to one another, in regards to the treatment of one another, the outcome is inevitable, which is a monstrosity. See, we have been socially engineered and conditioned by this Western Hemisphere. And as a result of that, we have become a monstrosity. We are a Western people, a Eastern people, trying to emulate Western ways. Now, it may very well work for them on the outside, but it certainly doesn't work for us in any regard. That's why it's imperative that we study a movement of Yah's people, meaning a fundamental codification of Yah's people. And Katriel, my brother and friend from New York City, is here as equal partners to share with you the study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You see, Yom Suf Arif, where we studied in the second book of Similel, King Dawud, chapter 12, it shows a lack of codification in some part, how it looks, just like us, messy, messy, and messier. Also, Cartrell will be studying in Yeshayahu, chapter 43, okay? And it reads the Redeemer of Israel. No, not the Senate, not the Congress, not your pastor, not your brother, mother, or sister, or any other. The Redeemer of Israel, okay? So let's get it correct. Cartrell will be saying in that study, chapter 43. So, welcome back. It's good to have you back. And when we study now, we want y'all to keep y'all minds right. Not only study everything around you in the context of the story, but think outside the box. I'm not saying add anything to it or take it away from it, but think outside the box when you study, outside of what your pastor or your preacher may have told you, okay? It's just that simple. Don't make this hard. So without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you out, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yom Suf Ari, Sister Abia, Sister Nisanya, and all the family of Safia. Shalom. How you doing? May the Most High bless you.
May he bless you, brother. My wife says shalom, Brother Cartrell. And may he bless your family.
All praise. Yes, sir. That was a nice introduction. And we get a chance to see the examples, even of our leaders in the past, that when they went the wrong way, the Most High judged them. Some stood up, you know, to the violations they committed, and others did not. One reason we love King David is because he acknowledged his sins, confessed them, and repented. The key word, repented. Because you could acknowledge your sin and not repent. But the Most High saw in his heart that he was sincere about what he had done. But it shows the importance of a king as well, that what he does affects all the people. And we're going to see that. So just because you're a king, it doesn't mean that what you do only centers on you, but it affects the whole nation.
Exactly. Praise y'all, Brother Cartrell.
Praise
Brother Cartrell and I, thank you. Brother Cartrell and I will get our studies, if Cartrell's ready, your students out there already. Chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And we'll find out how this goes along, beginning with the story of Bathsheba, King Dawud, and Uriah the Hittite. The end result, and it's not really ended, it's the beginning of the end result. But we're going to find out. Let's get started. Then Yah sent Nathan the prophet to King David. And he came to him and said to him, this prophet, telling him the little story. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe, a female lamb, that's a ewe, which he had brought and nourished. And it grew up together with him, with his children. It ate of his own food, drank from that man's own cup, and lay in that man's bosom. It was like a daughter to him, that little ewe. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it, killed it, to feed to the wayfarer. For the man had come to him. So, rightfully so, King David is outraged over this travesty of justice. And he said, so King David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan the prophet, as Yah lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And we have to be careful of the words we speak. Okay? Godrea always said, that's codified, baby. Be careful of the words that come out your mouth because it can't come back upon you. He shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity on that poor man, so to speak. Then Nathan the prophet said to King David, you the man, thus said Yah, Elohim of Israel, I anoint you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of King Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Yehuda. Hey, he putting that on him there. He putting it on him, putting it on his shoulder. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of Yah to do evil in his sight? What you did, what you do. You trying to be like the other kings. We don't do that. I don't care what they doing. We don't do that kind of mess. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Amnon. You used that sword to kill this poor man. He ain't did nothing to you without cause, so to speak. Now, therefore, the sword should never depart from your house. The one you put on Uriah is not going to never depart. You're going to reap what you sow. See, y'all got to be careful when y'all putting out toxicity and poison on folks. And when y'all trying to do wrong to innocent folks, ain't did no harm to you. Y'all got to be very careful when y'all doing that. It's codified, baby. Okay? You better be careful what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I would strongly advise and suggest that you don't do nothing but go to Yah first and foremost and ask him to execute Psalm 91 on them. Because you don't know what's in the hearts and minds of men and of women. You don't know why they did what they did. So I would advise you, go if you feel that strongly about it, go to Yah in prayer and ask him to execute Psalm 91 on it. It's just that simple if they did anything of court towards you. But now in this case of King David, Uriah the Hittite didn't do nothing. He's just like a poor man fighting for the nation, in love with the nation, want to be a part of the nation, even married a woman of the nation, risked his life for the nation, was on point with the nation. He wouldn't even go to sleep with his wife. Even when he got him drunk, go to sleep with his wife. He wouldn't even do none of that. He said, no. Joab is in the field out there in the open. Yehuda and Israel, they out there in the tent. No, I ain't going to lay up with my wife in a moment of comfort. This ain't over with. I'm loyal to Yah. I'm loyal to Israel. I'm loyal to Yehuda. I'm loyal to you, King. No, I ain't about to do no funny business right now. I got to get on back to Joab. I got to get back to... And what did you do, King? What did you do to him, this poor man? Because we got to be very careful what we do to one another. That's why we have been reduced to a monstrosity that we do any damn thing to one another. in any shape, form, and a fashion and have little regard for us. And we think this is a joke, people. That's why we are a hot mess, a travesty, a monstrosity, because we refuse to act in accordance to code. And we lean to our own understanding. Meaning, we lean to our own personal code. Oh, man, that's my code. I'm going to do it like that. Well, maybe you doing it like that ain't working for you and nobody else. And the king, as contrary a mission, was responsible not only for himself and his household, he was responsible for the whole nation. He's supposed to set an example for the whole nation. We can't let our pettiness get the best of us. We have to always remain in code. It's just that simple. And it says, you have killed Uriah the Hittite. The sword you've taken, you've taken his wife to your wife. You've killed her with the sword of the people of Amnon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. And it didn't. Because you have despised me as a result, basically, of his actions. And have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus said Yah, behold, I will rise up adversity, which he did, against you from your own home. It's going to come from the confines of your own home. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, what you did, King Dollar. But I will do the same before all you. Because I'm going to let them know, that ain't cool for the king. That ain't cool for any one of you. That ain't no more for the lawfully man to the highest man in this nature. We're all set on the same equal playing field. True justice. But I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So King David said to the prophet Nathan, he took ownership. That's how we all had to take ownership of our shortcoming. He didn't point like Adam said. Adam said, oh, Lord, no, it's that woman you gave me. And the woman said, oh, Lord, Moses, no, it was a serpent. You must have put him in the field. They got me messed up. And the serpent looked around, I guess, wasn't nobody else to tell him. So now he wouldn't like that. He took ownership of his own actions. And we have to learn to take ownership of our shortcomings. That's how the Most High recognizes us according to code. Until the moment we take ownership, the Most High ignores your nonsense. And this is how he recognized King Dawood. When he took ownership, I have sinned against Yah. And Nathan, the prophet, said to King Dawood, Yah also put back, because you've taken ownership, Yah has put away your sin. You shall not die, simply say, as a result of your action. However, there's consequences and repercussions. Because this deed, you have given great occasion, because not only the nation is looking at you, other nations are looking at you. And you are the ambassador of me, King Dawood. Not only are the people I put in your hand to lead are looking up to you, other nations are looking at you. And we have to be cognizant and responsible for our actions, especially when it comes to us and other nations too. That's why we study other nations and their perception of things. We got to be very careful, because if we are an ambassador of Yah, occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme. I told you that Yah wasn't bad. Now look what he did. I always told you that boy was dirty. All of us got dirt on it. King Dawood got dirt on it too. I told him it wasn't nothing to that Yah. So y'all got to be careful when y'all running y'all mouth off and putting stuff out there and doing stuff that you're saying you're representative of Yah, but your actions does not indicate that. So you got to be very cognizant of that fact, okay? To blaspheme. The child also, talking consequences, the child also who is born of you shall surely die as a result of King Dawood's action. Then Nathan departed to his house. The death of King Dawood's son by Bathsheba. And Yah struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to King Dawood. It became ill. King Dawood therefore pleaded with Yah for the child. King Dawood fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So a very important people in your lives, which should be, but we don't respect them. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him from the ground, to motivate him, to encourage him. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, 7 days of this, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of King David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him. He would not heed our voice. He didn't want to hear nothing. He didn't want to rap. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. Oh, Lord, he may do some harm if we tell him that the little baby dead. When King saw, now he's a very perceptive man, King David. When King David saw that his servants were whispering, King David, being perceptive as he was, perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, King David said to his servant, is the child dead? They said in response, he dead. So King David arose immediately, I gather, from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes. He did all he could do. Sometimes you can do all you can do. You can't do no more. Get up, wash your clothes, get up, and groom yourself, get yourself together. And what did he do? What did he do first and foremost? As we should all be doing. He went into the house of Yah. Well, we can't go to the house of Yah, but we can certainly beseech Yah and worship. Then he went to his own house after that. And when he requested, they set food before him. He ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done speaking to the king? Now, these 7 days, so to speak, you fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. Here's a common sense pragmatism of what King David said. I told you he's a very astute person. And he said this in codification. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. I said, who can tell whether Yah will be gracious if I do this to me, that the child may live? I can't tell what Yah ever I did while he was alive. But now he's being pragmatic. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? In response, I should go to him before he returned to me. Being pragmatic, I did all I could do. I fasted and prayed these 7 days. And Yah took it upon himself to do what he do. Ain't no sense me keep crying and laying on the ground. It's not running out my door. I accepted the consequences of my actions. I did the best I could for the little boy. But it didn't work. So I got up, washed up, went up to the house of Yah, worshiped him like I should have been doing first and foremost, so to speak, so I wouldn't have got in trouble in the first place. And then I got something to eat. I had to nourish myself. That's being pragmatic. And so, as a result, Yah is very gracious, very merciful. King Salomo is born. Then King David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went to her and lay with her. Y'all know what that means. Y'all ain't stupid. So she bore a son, and he called his name Salomo. But Yah loved him. Yah loved the little boy too. And he went, sent word by the hand of Nathan, the prophet, that he loved the little boy too. So he called his name Yedidiah, which means beloved of Yah. I love the little boy. Even though I took one from you, that's consequence in action. I like this little fella. Okay? Yah is merciful, and he's very kind and loving in regards to the act. So y'all need to be wise and pragmatic, loving, kind, and merciful. Don't be sticking your nose down at King David. Thank you something special. You got dirt on you too. Probably some of y'all ain't even acknowledged it nor confessed it, nor went to Yah in prayer and supplication. But you're looking down your nose at King David. King David did codificate. No, his actions weren't right in the very beginning, but he made them right during the processes. He went back in code. Have you went back in code? Or simply look at y'all and you'll know that this great king, the greatest king ever lived. I ain't talking about no this white boy riding a horse out of Greece. I ain't talking about the emperors out of Rome. I'm talking about the greatest king in the world ever lived, King David, out of Israel and Yehuda. That's what I'm talking about. Finally, Rabbah is captured. Now, Joab fought against Rabbah of the people of Amnon, our cousin, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to King David saying, I fought against Rabbah. I've taken the city's water supply. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and camp against the city and take it, talking to the king. Lest I take the city, and then he called after my name. He said, King, I'm going to stay out of my lane. I ain't seeking no glory, so to speak. King, you get this. So King David gathered all the people together, went to Rabbah, fought against it, took it. Then he took the king's crown from his head, the king of Amnon, our cousin. His weight was a talent of gold. His very head had a talent of gold with precious stones. And it was set on King David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws and iron picks and iron axes and made them cross over to the brickworks. So he did to all the cities of the people. That's very merciful now. Come on, these folks didn't show us no love. Now, y'all may be feeling some kind of ways about them. These people, they are good, and they always been out of our throat. He showed them some mercy, okay? He did this to all the cities of the people of Amnon, our cousin. Then King David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Praise Lot, yeah. And it just goes to show you, brothers and sisters, when you fall, get off your behind. Don't wallow in your pity. Don't be like a dog returning to his vomit and stay eating up the vomit. Okay? Stop eating up the vomit. Do like King David did. Make acknowledgement. Hey, that's me. That's on me. Do what you need to do to make it right with y'all. And when all fails, do not forsake y'all. Like King David did. He went and worshiped and praised after the little baby boy died. And y'all gave him another little baby boy who became a great king of Israel, who built the temple for the Most High. So that being said, people, a lot of y'all think y'all something special out there. Now that may very well be so, and you may be a legend in your own mind. Okay? You may be a legend in your own mind. You may not be a legend to y'all, and you certainly ain't one to me. But you may very well be a legend in your own mind. But that ain't gonna work for us on the coast. Y'all loves humility of correction. And like I said, King David didn't die as a result of his action. And y'all showed him some mercy, love, and kindness. And more than likely, if you do what King David did, you'll receive some mercy, love, and kindness. But that's consequences and actions. Believe that. And be careful of the words that come out your mouth. Those words may very well boomerang back on you. Praise y'all. Praise y'all, praise y'all, and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrell, you have the mic, my friend.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. What a lesson. And you broke it down thoroughly. Good job.
Thank you, brother.
I noticed that even when you have a baby.
Right.
That you don't even know.
Right.
And the baby dies.
Right.
It's very emotional.
I've been there, Cartrell, once before.
I've been there, too.
Yeah, I've been there.
I've been there, too. Mm-hmm. My Isha lost twins. She was supposed to have twins.
Oh, I didn't know that. How long has she carried them, Cartrell? How many months has your Isha carried them, the babies?
It was early in her pregnancy where she miscarried.
Okay. Oh, the first trimester?
I'm not exactly sure. It's quite a while ago. Oh, but it wasn't like okay. She was 7, 8, 9 months, no.
Right, okay. And more you like still think about him? You still think about him, Cartrell?
Forever and
your
ever.
Baby? Yeah,
sure. I try to imagine by looking at my children now what they would have been like.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But
Sister Nisanya said probably most likely was the first trimester, your wife, your Esau.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I said yesterday that the Most High didn't punish Bathsheba. Like, he punished
No, he didn't touch him. Didn't he miss him? Didn't he miss him, Cartrell?
But he did. Anytime a woman loses a child, it's very hurtful.
Exactly. Traumatic.
And that
very traumatic.
Whole punishment too. That they both lost the child because it belonged to both.
Right. Right. Because he had to come. King Dawah had to go to an comforter. Yeah, you're right, Kadra.
Yes.
You're certainly right, brother. The evidence doesn't lie.
Yes. And the fact that King David lost three more of his sons was the price he had to pay for what he did to Uriah the Hittite.
Exactly. Exactly. Consequences and repercussions, Brother Cartrell. Consequences and repercussions.
And we read, as we continue to read the story of King David, this judgment never left him. The Most High said in its own verse, what do you say?
Hold on, Cartrell. Let me find that verse. Let me find it right quick for you. Let me put my glasses back on. And let me go to that verse.
10 and 11 and 12.
Exactly.
I got it. So it says, so warfare, which we know, will never leave your house because you despise me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. This is what Yah said. I will stir up trouble against you within your own household. And before your own eyes, I will take your wives and give them to someone close to you. He will go to bed with your wives in broad daylight. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen in broad daylight in front of all Israel. What a price for that.
Exactly.
And as we continue to read our history, all this transpired in the life of King David.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I was just saying that this judgment that the prophet Nathan put on King David transpired throughout his life.
Exactly.
Even though he fell off the path, he got right back on it. But he still had to pay the price.
Yeah. Well, as the proverb said, Katra, a wise man falls 7 times and get back up. A fool falls into mischief. That's true, Katra.
And he'd rather pay the price than to die, because Yah spared him from death.
Exactly.
Which means he's worried about his soul.
Right.
His soul was in the balance.
Exactly. It saved him from a physical death and spiritual death, Katra.
That's what
saved him. Praise God. He took ownership. He didn't deny it. He didn't try to cover it over any more than he did initially in secret. He put it all out there in broad daylight too. I did what I did. Yep, that was me.
And you notice how when he was mourning for the baby, he said, why am I mourning? Because I can't bring him to me. I'll be going to him before he ever comes back to me.
Exactly.
So there's a
spiritual component.
There's a place to go.
A spiritual component.
Oh, yeah.
If you're right with Yah. If you're right with Yah. It's true.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah, Brother Cartrell. Fellow students, Brother Cartrell is about to bring to you the last segment of study in the 43rd chapter of Yeshayahu. A lot of you call it his name Isaiah. That is not his name. That is not correct pronunciation of his name. His name is Yeshayahu. Get it right. Brother Cartrell, and it reads as, getting my shades back together, the Redeemer of Israel. Ain't nobody else going to redeem, not the Congress, not the Senate, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not the President going to redeem you out of the mess you in. You better get your mind right. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cartrell, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel over and over again. There's not enough time to give praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel for the creation of our nation.
Hallelujah.
As a people. Hallelujah. I know you got a dictionary pretty handy, but I looked up the word boom. Huh?
Redeemed. Okay. Okay, let me look it up for right quick. And I read the...
Because there's a lot of misconception about that word.
Right. I know, Kadri, from their perspective, from this Western Hemisphere.
From especially a Christian perspective.
Right. Okay, hold on, Brother Cottrell. The Hebrew meaning of redeemer. Okay. I want to see the correct. Okay. The Hebrew meaning of redeemer. Okay, redeemer.
Here's your translation.
Okay. Okay, it means a noun, redeemer, savior, savior. What is a redeemer? What does redeemer mean in Hebrew? Okay. Okay. Goel, Hebrew. Redeemer.
Ga'al.
Ga'al. Ga'al. G-O-E-L. Ga'al.
Redeemer.
Okay. Ga'al.
Redeem.
Right. And right. Okay. It means in the Hebrew Bible, in a rabbinical tradition, if a person as the nearest relative of someone is charged with the duty of restoring that person's rights and avenging wrongs done to him or her. Y'all heard that? Let me repeat this part. Charged with the duty of restoring that person's right, not the Senate, not the Congress, not the President, not your pastor, none ever, or not your mama, sister, or brother. Person's rights and avenging wrongs done to that him or her, the redeemer, and his meaning. And we definitely need to be storing our rights because we ain't got them back yet since we left the land, our land. And avenging the wrong, again, well, there's so much wrong that still continues on. It's been done against us. Sometimes you can't see the light for the end of the tunnel with the wrong been done to us as a nation, historically speaking. 403 years in county. So that will be a great day, Brother Cottrell. Praise y'all. And fellow students, praise y'all. Bless his holy name, the Redeemer. Go ahead, Brother Cottrell.
And I hope you caught that Hebrew definition of the term Redeemer, because I'm going to have you read it one more time at the top, because it's a relative that...
Yeah, somebody close to you. Somebody close to you.
When Yah says that he's our redeemer, when the Most High is saying that he's our redeemer, he's saying that he's our relative.
Right. Not the Congress. Not the Senate. Not your
read
president.
That one more time. Read that one more time. Because it's your relative that is your redeemer that redeems you.
As the nearest relative. Mm-hmm. Of someone is charged with the duty of restoring that person's rights, all of them, and avenging wrongs, all of them, done to him or her, all of them. He's our nearest relative. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, not the Senate, not the Congress, not none one of them. Praise
and he's charged with that mission. The nearest relative that has the power to do that, he is charged with that mission. So Almighty God is charged because he's related to us, as he says. We didn't say it. He said it. He is our redeemer. So I hope that clears things up from the mindset that we've had about what a redeemer is.
Y'all heard that, didn't you? Y'all heard that, didn't you? All right. Go ahead, Brother Cottrell.
So what's the title again now?
The Redeemer?
The title
he's
of Yeshayahu 43.
The Redeemer of Israel. The Redeemer of our nation. Who is that? Mm-hmm. Is it the Senate? Is it Congress? Is it the President? No. Ain't said now one of them. That's why we got all these problems. And that's why we ain't restored to our rights, real rights. Praise y'all. Go ahead, Brother Cottrell.
Yes, and everybody that you mentioned is the problem to us. They're the ones we have to be redeemed from.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. It's like you try to get justice from the bully that's taking your lunch money every day.
You
want to
be
his friend.
You
want to be his friend. You want to be the bully's friend, but he want to take your money every day. How about that?
Exactly.
And friends
crazy,
don't take
bro.
Each other's money. Friends don't take each other's money. So he'll never be your friend. He'll always be a bully because he knows he could take your money every day for his lunch.
Exactly.
But we have a redeemer, somebody that's going to step in and stop the bully from taking your lunch money.
Praise
Yah. But now, thus saith Yah, this is a continuation from 42. And I have to make mention of the fact that Yah describes the nation of Israel in terms of the singular and the plural. The singular
exactly.
and the plural. So yesterday we read about the servant of Yah. And I'm going to read the first verse. Behold, my servant, whom I hold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. So many people may construe that as one person. But when Yah says him, he's talking about the whole nation of Israel. Okay.
Y'all heard that?
And he's going to go back and forth in his chapter between the singular and the plural. And I'll show you. But now thus saith Yah. He who created you, O Yaakov, and formed you, O Yisrael. And I tell you why he calls us Jacob and Israel, because we like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Fear not.
You ain't told no lie, brother. You ain't told no lie.
That's why he calls us Jacob and Israel. It's either one or the other. We are acting like Jacob or we acting like Israel, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
With all that.
One and the same. Yeah.
Right. What did he say? His command. He's not asking us. He's not suggesting. He's commanding us what? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. And you gave us the definition of redeem and our redeemer. And he's speaking in terms of past tense. In Yah's mind, it's already done. You ain't got to worry about it. That's why we don't have to fear, because in Yah's mind, what? It's already done. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, there shall none overwhelm you. So even if you can't swim, Yamsu, don't even worry about it.
Right.
When you walk through the fire, and can't none of us walk through fire unless Yah be with us, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. What flame? What flame are you talking about? You talking about nuclear weapons, nuclear bombs, nuclear fire?
Perhaps.
I'm sure he is. Oh, yeah. For I am Yah, Yah Elohim. That's why he's telling us not to fear. Don't fear the nuclear fires or World War III or nuclear war. Because guess what? If you're lined up with me, you belong to me, and you will walk through the waters and you will walk through the fire. Has Yah done that before?
Yep.
Have you passed through the waters, passed through the fires before?
Through the water.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know they was in Babylon, and they went back to the island.
In every God, so through the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right straight through the fire. For I am Yah, Yah Elohim, the Holy One of Yisrael, your Savior. What don't our people get about that? Did he include Jesus? He didn't say me and my son. And who was the Holy One of Yisrael? You never hear him call Jesus that. I give Mizraim as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. They must be worth a lot, right, Yonson? Mizraim, Cush, and Seba. I don't know if you know who Seba is, but Seba is the firstborn son of Cush. And Seba became a nation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard of the queen of Seba? They just threw the H in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She ruled Cush, which they call Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are precious in my sight. So Mizraim, Cush, and Seba are precious. Because this is the ransom price for redemption. He's given up these nations for our redemption. He said, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Wow. I give men in return for you.
Well, Cottrell, I think they miss a great point here. They missed the word "you were," not "you are," pressure. You were past participle because of your past behavior when you were actually on code. But I still love you.
Yasu, truth be told, we've never been on code.
Man, truth be told, truth be told.
Yah is going to put us on code. That's part of the redemption, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Because I wrote down some words for redemption. Hold on. It might take a little while.
Okay.
Redemption.
Take your time.
To free from distress or harm, to free from captivity by payment of ransom, to extricate or help to overcome something detrimental, to release from blame or debt, to clear, to free from consequence of sin, to change for the better, reform, repair, restore, to free from lien by payment of an amount secured thereby, to remove obligation of by payment, to exchange for something of value, to make good, to fulfill, to atone for, to expiate, to offset a bad effect, to make worthwhile, retrieve, rescue, deliver, redeem, ransom, reclaim, save. Those were the English definitions, not necessarily Hebrew definitions of redeem, but they do fall in line. For your sake, verse 14, thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, and the ships in which they rejoice. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And when he says the Creator of Israel, he specifically created the nation of Israel from Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And we know that Sarah could not have children. She laughed at the Most High because she thought that he could not restore her ability to have children. But he did. And she had Isaac, who was the father of Yaakov. So he did create us from the other nations that he had created. And he's our King, our Creator. Thus saith Yah, who makes a way in the sea, which is why the waters won't overwhelm you, and a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Sounds more like an exterminator. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not receive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Excuse me. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. Like I said, you ain't got to worry about doomsday prepping. Y'all's going to take care of all of it. Because no matter how much doomsday prepping you do, if the sea level rises and starts drowning cities, you're going to drown. If they set off nuclear war and you don't have the protection, you're not in the refuge of Yah, you're going to burn in that nuclear fire. Yah said he will give drink to his chosen people. You better hope that you're chosen. The people who I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That's what we do. That's what we are built for, to praise Yah. Hallelujah. And every time we have the opportunity, we should declare Yah's praises. We should be declaring Yah's word. We should thank Yah for giving us the opportunity to do on the Real Talk for Real People show 5 nights a week. Hope you're listening in. Yet, you did not call upon me, Jacob. And Jacob is not calling on Yah. That's why he calls us Jacob. But you have weary me, O Israel. Because Israel knows Yah, and we weary Yah, because we should know better. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings, or honor me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, or wearied you with frankincense. We don't have to do that in captivity because Yah's not requiring it. You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices because we have that. We don't have the ability to do that. But you have burdened me with your sin. Oh, we have the ability to do that. You wildin' in Babylon. You have worried me with your iniquities because we're doing everything we want to do because that's what they're telling us we could do. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Not for you. It's like he blotted out King David's transgression. Why he do it? He did it for his own sake. And I will not remember your sin. So in conjunction to what he did for King David, he's saying he's going to do the same thing for us. Put me in remembrance. And our people don't remember anything about our history, who we are, much less our creator. So we have to remind our people so that they can remember that Yah is our creator. Let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proven right. Your first fathers sin, and we don't even know who our first fathers were, and your mediators, the people that's trying to teach us Yah's word now, they're transgressing against me. Therefore, will I profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob, there you go, to utter destruction and Israel to reviling, which is where we are right now. We're in a state of utter destruction and people revile us, even when we call ourselves Israelites. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. I would strongly advise and suggest that you take this moment to meditate on Yah's word, to reflect on it, and that you take the moments after the study show, the study session is over with, to lay back on your couch or you, wherever your bed or whatnot, and just think about what Cartrell shared with you in this study. If you're a Hebrew Israelite, just think about it. Ain't nobody come to save you other than the Redeemer, which is Yah. Ain't nobody come to really help you other than the Redeemer, Yah. Yah has given us relief from our enemies. Our enemies, per se, hadn't given us relief in any aspect of our lives. It's up to Yah to give us these relief. He's given us relief from the cruel and harsh mechanism of universal white race supremacy slavery in this country, and universally speaking, he's given us relief, and it does get better. But your total reliance must not reside in the enemy leaders, the president, the senate, the congress, your local mayor, your local city council. Your relief ain't coming from there. It never came from there. It never will. Your relief comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, who loves you, who don't want to see you in this situation, but you brought it upon yourself. It's going to get better, but you got to rely on the Elohim. You will be able to do like Yamsu. You will be able to float on in that water. You will be able to go through that fire, and so on and so forth. But you must remain reliant on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You must remain dependent upon him. You must remain hopeful in him because every aspect of your life is dependent upon it. Meditate on these words. Restudy them. Hold on to them. Apply them. Make it become an innate part of your nature. When they said, oh, I need to vote, I said, I don't need to do nothing. I need to pray to Yah. I need to write to Senate. I need to write to Congress. I don't need to do nothing but pray to Yah. I need to talk to him. Because therein lies your relief. Therein lies your true salvation. Therein lies your true redeemer. It's not a president. It's not a Senate. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Independent Party. It's not the Congress. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Bless his holy name. Praise Yah. Brother Cottrell, is there any more you'd like to share in these studies or shalom's or goodbyes or good nights.
In your closing remarks, Yamsu, Ari, give me a flashback.
Oh, man, I'm feeling good tonight.
Give me a flashback. Because when we was growing up, we was your lot of games. It was political violence, man. We watched them shoot John F. Kennedy. We watched them shoot Robert F. Kennedy. We watched them assassinate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Exactly.
Malcolm X get assassinated. This generation ain't seen nothing like that. And guess what?
No.
All that fight that our sisters and brothers did in the 60s, marching, getting dogs sicked on them and water hoses just to get to their school and their restaurants to integrate. They're about to roll all that back. They're about to roll all that back if they haven't already. You got the civil rights bill, the right to vote bill. You don't even know if you got the right to vote.
Exactly.
After all that fighting, after all that jailing of people and marching and NAACP and the sick movement, trust me, man, these people are about to put it on our people even harder. That's what you're talking about, MAGA. Make America great again. And there's a lot of people that want to make America what it was again, where we're subservient to their will. And y'all said bring it on, because I'm going to show you my might. I'm going to show you my right hand. So we got people
that
praying to
happen.
The Most High. Right. Our Redeemer's coming. Our Redeemer's coming if he's not here already. And he's got them in confusion and derision. We just have to learn how to link up with our kinsmen, our kinsfolk. Yah is our kin, and he's our Redeemer. He's coming to make things right for us. All praises. We may sound crazy.
All praises.
But it's a spiritual
thing. Fine analysis, Brother Country. Thank you, brother. I'm sorry. Go repeat what you said, Brother Country.
I said it's a spiritual thing. And they have our people in fear, thinking that you got to make a bunker underground with 50 days of food supply and 3 years of water, whatever people bunk under their bunkers with. But when things are set off, when world's in chaos, they set off World War III or Yah raises the water level to drown people, all that preparation you did is not going to help you. I watched the fires in California burn mansions, and people have to evacuate whatever it is.
Exactly.
You know, when Yah sets those things up, it's with a purpose. So he's warning us, letting us know that we better connect with him now before it's too late.
Exactly. Well, Cartrell, in the final analysis, we need to know what kind we are. We need to know who our kind is, and we need to cling close to our kind. Truth be told. Praise y'all. Praise y'all. Praise y'all. And bless
praise
y'all.
Sir.
And we love y'all. May the Most High bless y'all. Shalom and good night. Thank you, Brother Cardinal. Thank you, fellow students. And thank you so very much, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, for you being our Redeemer. Praise and bless your holy name. Shalom
thank you.
And good night.